are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're diving right on in. I mean, you guys are still texting like a bunch of texting machines, but I'll catch up with those here in a few minutes. Let me jump into dipper number one. I'm calling it the morning after. So the debate was last night. Everybody knows it. Some people care. Some people don't. Some people watched it. Some people didn't. I talked to one this morning who's actually the chairperson of a county Republican party who I would have thought would have been diving right in, neck deep in it. And she got about 20 minutes into it and said, I couldn't do it. So I mean, I get it. But I hung in there the entire hour and a half because that's what I do for you people. But there's already talk of a second debate. Really? What's interesting is it's Kamala Harris's folks that want the second debate because she's feeling a little saucy right now, a little saucy, feeling like she got a little something out of last night, I guess. And granted, she held her own. If she'd done badly, they would not have asked. But the fact that she wants another one also means she feels like she needs it. Trump, on the other hand, is declining to commit to whether he will. Is that because he did badly? No, it's because he also recognizes that that's Kamala Harris's comfort zone, is being in places where the press will treat her nicely and she won't have to answer questions or be fact-checked. And so Trump does best on the trail. And so we'll just wait and see whether there's a second debate or not. I think part of that's going to depend on what the rules are and who's going to host it. Because right now, I can just tell you, if ABC, CBS, NBC, or PBS, or somebody like that says we'll host it, just give them a cold shoulder and stiff arm them and keep them moving. I will say that she did get the much coveted, but yet not unexpected, endorsement this morning from none other than Taylor Swift. You did good on that, Big Rig. So Taylor Swift came out this morning and said she has now done her research and she is endorsing Kamala Harris. Well, good, said the woman who has made a career out about singing her about her bad choices of people. Thank you. I get my own laugh track on that one. That was good. So the Swifties. Now listen, here's the thing. I know that there are people out there to whom it will matter that Taylor said we should vote for Kamala. If Taylor said so, then I got to do it because Taylor said so. I know there's people like that. There are. They exist.
It's funny that you just said that.
And they are allowed to vote.
Because it's true.
It's true. They are allowed to vote. It is their right. And if that is how they base their vote, I don't know what to tell you, except that I hope one day they grow up and actually find a pair. But the truth is, Taylor Swift has now come out. And it's, like I said, it's no surprise because I think she endorsed Biden in the last election. Is that the swing vote? I don't think so. But let's do this. How much time have I got for the break now? I got about 3 minutes-ish. So let me play. I'm going to start with this. I'm going to play you what was Trump's closing comment. Audio track one, Big Rig. Give me the thumbs up when you're ready on it. All right. So audio track one. This is actually Trump's closing comments that I think was the true message of the night, and he needs to stick with this. Go ahead.
Have and policies like they have. I don't say her because she has no policy. Everything that she believed 3 years ago and 4 years ago is out the window. She's going to my philosophy now. In fact, I was going to send her a MAGA hat. She's gone to my philosophy. But if she ever got elected, she'd change it. And it will be the end of our country. She's a Marxist. Everybody knows she's a Marxist. Her father's a Marxist professor in economics, and he taught her well. But when you look at what she's done to our country, and when you look at these millions and millions of people that are pouring into our country monthly, where it's, I believe, 21 million people, not the 15 that people say, and I think it's a lot higher than the 21, that's bigger than New York State pouring in. And just look at what they're doing to our country. They're criminals. Many of these people coming in are criminals. And that's bad for our economy, too. You know, you mentioned before, we'll talk about immigration later. Well, bad immigration is the worst thing that can happen to our economy. They have, and she has, destroyed our country with policy that's insane. Almost policy that you'd say they have to hate our country.
President Trump.
All right, go ahead. The reality is that's the message over and over again. Now, where he's going to have to be more specific, and I think he's going to have to dial in a little more, is to give examples. Like, he'll say, I gave her the best economy. I gave her the very best economy. It was a perfect economy. Go ahead, please, and point out to the world that we were at 1.6% inflation when he left office. And within a year and a half, we were at 9% inflation, a 40-year high. Say it. The interest rates were in the twos and threes when he left office. They went up to over 7 on her watch within a year and a half. And, you know, gas prices, yada. And she can try to say, well, the economy is on the upswing right now. Well, you know what? It had nowhere to go but up because it was in the tank. And how about this? Saying that you're doing better than the bad that you were doing is not a winning policy. That's like basically saying we're not as bad as we were bad yesterday, but you're also still not as good as you were when Trump left office. He's got to get that message dialed in and make it more specific, in my opinion. I think he's got to have – now, he's got a Trump has a grasp of the facts. I have no doubt of that. I don't think he presented them as articulately as I would wish that he had. Now, in a minute when we come back from this break, I've got a piece here from Fox. It's the top 5 moments from last night's debate. The top 5. I will tell you this. 3 of them were good Trump. 2 of them were good Kamala. We'll break them down. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number 2. I don't even know where hour number 1 went. It just left. It's just gone. We got a bunch of people texting. Let me just grab a couple of those real quick so I try to stay current as I can. So brand spanking new in the text line did not even say who they are. Probably trying not to say who they are. Tell us who you are, where you're from. But this person apparently is not a Trump fan. Says, Pop got smoked. It was elder abuse. Okay. You know, it's funny you say that. So the lovely Charlene just sent me a text. Victor Davis Hanson, who is incredibly intellectual. I mean, the guy is as sharp as all get out. I mean, I feel like I should get the continuing education credit whenever I read his stuff. But Victor Davis Hanson wrote a piece that said, if you read the script of last night, the transcript, it's obvious that Trump won because he was in command of the issues and not just glossing things. It's a presentation, though, that does make a difference. And I do think that Kamala Harris did a better job of presenting last night than Trump did. And Trump was obviously, he was getting under his skin. He was, now I will say this, he did not go true full-on combative. He did not get nuclear. I can't imagine how you stand up there and have some of the things said about you and to you and done to you while you're on the stage without getting irritated. He hung in there, but he began to look like he was Grumpy Trump was coming up. I mean, it was Grumpy Trump, but I don't blame him. Dave from Madison says, fact check the fact checkers. No doubt. They did a horrible job. So one of the big takeaways from last night is that Trump was debating 3 people. I don't recall, if there was one, somebody can point it out, but I don't recall there being a moment when Kamala Harris said something, some of which was so egregiously out of line and so egregiously false, like the kind of falsehood you look at and go, wow, do you feel good about yourself now? Like, you just want to take a shower after she says it. Some of the things she said were so incredibly false, and yet they just let her say it and then moved on. Mr. Trump, you have 1 minute to respond. He's looking at him like, okay. Meanwhile, Trump says something. If he said the sky was blue, now, Mr. Trump, in some places, the sky is not necessarily blue. That's the way it felt. Here's an example. Big Rig, I just sent you an audio clip. You got it already? Mm-hmm. You good, bro? All right, so this is not part of my original repertoire in the resourcing, but I just found it a little while ago, and I want to play it. This is the kind of thing that we deal with. Trump accused her of wanting to take people's guns and violate the Second Amendment. I want you to hear, this is a mixed audio clip. It is her last night, followed by something she has already said previously. Play it.
This business about taking everyone's guns away, Tim Walz and I are both gun owners. We're not taking anybody's guns away. So stop with the continuous lying about this stuff.
I support buybacks, and it's something I'm so passionate about and so looking forward to being president to address. We've got to deal with this.
How mandatory is your gun buyback program?
It's mandatory.
Stop with the continuous lying about this stuff.
Just listen. You don't have mandatory gun buybacks and say you're not taking people's guns away. Mandatory is a key word. The government says mandatory. Guess what? That means compliance is expected or there's a penalty. And then, by the way, I'd like to know what gun she owns. Can somebody please fact check that?
Probably a Nerf. Ethan. She said she was excited about it.
Oh, yes.
Excited about being president so she can take care of that.
Yes. It's exciting to think about violating someone's constitutional rights. It's exciting to have that much power in your hands. And I got news. Mandatory gun buyback? You just watch the Supreme Court get involved in that one. All right. Let me do this. I got a piece here. I mean, so far I've not even had to go to my resources, but let's do this one. Fox News has a piece called The Top 5 Moments from Trump-Harris Presidential Debate. Here's what I tweeted some of these exact same things last night during my live tweeting. I had a string that was like 37 tweets long, but we have Trump. The first one said and I already played it for you. When Trump said he wanted to send Harris a MAGA hat, I got to be honest, that was funny. That was a good moment. It was a good line. Use it over and over again, sir. Put it in all your broadcasts. Put it in all your ads. He said everything she believed 3 and 4 years ago is out the window. She's gone to my philosophy now. I was going to send her a MAGA hat. Anyway, that's just too funny. Number two on the top five list. Trump says he probably took a bullet to the head because of Biden-Harris rhetoric. And that was a great line because he was responding to the fact that there were warnings from Harris about him being an authoritarian in his second term because, yeah, he certainly destroyed the world in the first term, didn't he? January 6th is still scary. You know, all the things he done. And then he turns around and says, I'm not the one who weaponizes. This is the one that weaponized, pointing at her, not me. She weaponized. He said, I probably took a bullet to the head because of the things they say about me. That was a good line. That was a great line. I think he should have played it up more. Next one. This one goes to Harris's side. Number three on the list from Fox is that Harris says she's not Joe Biden. And that's interesting. That's a yes and a no for her, all right? Number one, she's trying to differentiate herself, and she's also pointing out that Trump was more than once saying things and talking about, you know, things that Biden did. And she points out at one point that I'm not Joe Biden. She says, clearly, I am not Joe Biden. Okay. You're joined at the hip with him. You're the vice president. So this is one of those things that if you're paying attention, people who care are going to look at this and go, oh, lady, come on. So Trump says she's trying to get away from Biden. Harris responded by saying she's not Biden, adding she's certainly not Donald Trump. She says, what I do offer is a new generation of leadership for our country. Okay. You've also been in office for 3 years, and now you're talking about what you're going to do on day one, even though you're actually still in office right now. Number four, this one needs to be hammered more and more. Harris stood by the Afghanistan withdrawal. She refused to say that the Afghanistan withdrawal went badly. She was asked, and I thought it was one of the only times I saw a moderator ask her a question that was uncomfortable. Do you believe you bear any responsibility in the way that the withdrawal played out? Well, I will tell you, I agree with President Biden's decision to pull out of Afghanistan. Four presidents said they would. Joe Biden did. Now, don't call that a pullout. That was a freaking retreat. That was a chaotic run for cover. That was an awful, and 13 U.S. service members died, and she didn't even address it. Number five, this one goes back to Trump's side. Trump used her line against her. I don't know if you remember this, but she was extremely, she's very condescending. She has a habit of talking down to people. She talks down to them, or she condescends by pretending that she's like the kindergarten teacher educating them on the things they just don't understand. And so last night, with her mic turned off, she tried to sort of interject and say something, and Trump looked at her and did to her exactly what she had done to Mike Pence so incredibly rudely in the vice presidential campaign back in 2020. He said, wait a minute, I'm talking now, if you don't mind, please. Sound familiar, he said. Well, that's exactly what she did to Mike Pence, and she got a little bit of it handed to her last night. That's the top five. I got a caller on the line real quick. I got about 2 minutes for the break. Let me grab, who's that? Wolverine Dan. What you doing, man?
Hey, man. What's up, brother? You okay?
I'm good, buddy. How about you?
Very well, thank you. Talk about the debate last night. Well, it's almost like Barack Obama with a long-haired wig. And let me tell you why I say that. Well-spoken. I must say she was well-spoken. She was well-prepared. And the part of it, as you said, was a setup of the questions. And it's not a friendly TV station for conservatives, I would say. But she can talk all she wants. She did a good job. Now, I'll give you that, okay? But the thing is, she talks just like Joe Biden talks as far as telling you a bunch of stuff they're going to do, and they don't do it.
Yeah.
There lies the difference between President Trump, that didn't have any help when he first started as a president. He made some bad decisions because he didn't, that's a whole new arena is political. You know that. You know the arena there.
Yeah.
And so he walked into and it's still a swamp, okay? But the thing is this. President Trump got things done with a lot less help than the Democrats have been helping Biden with this left-wing agenda. She's going to go so far left, and I really believe she's going to. She's going to destroy a lot of things in this country. We might not be able to get it back. So the point I'm trying to say is that she might have spoken well. She might have, maybe she won the debate. But here's the thing. Facts are stubborn things.
Yeah.
So for almost the last four years, what have they done? What has Kamala Harris done along with her president? What have they done? A lot to damage the country and ruin it. President Trump did not. What got President Trump was the COVID. And that's a whole new story. I don't know how a virus comes out of a lab like that. That's a Frankenstein virus. How did it get out? Well, that's kind of suspicious to me, okay, Phil? So what I'm saying is this. When you vote for someone that has done something, and it's proven that that person has done something. I don't think Kamala is going to do anything. I think it's a lot of talk, and she's well-spoken. I'll give her that much. But that speaking ain't going to help me in my pocketbook, or it's not going to help me be protected from an illegal immigrant that wants to kill me or rape my wife, or the border that is still letting them in. And all those resources that should go to our Americans that are homeless goes to these people that are illegal aliens that live in five-star hotels. So think about it. It's what the candidate has done and what it – not what they're going to do. It's what their record stands on.
Yeah, you're perfectly right. And listen, I'll be honest with you. One of the things that really came out of last night is a sound clip after sound clip after sound clip that they can use, like I did a minute ago, where I had an old clip of her saying one thing and her saying something totally different last night. And they need to side by side those things, take last night, and then break it down with what her previous statements have been and just run it on an endless loop for the next 56 days.
True, Phil. But here's the thing. The uninformed voter that's more busy wants to be tweeting and wants to be famous on their cell phone don't really know what's going on, and they could care less. But they heard that speech, and it's won them over. But guess what? You vote her in, then what are you going to get? Let him eat cake.
I agree with you, man. That's why we got work to do for 55 more days, brother. All right, we got to go. We're taking a break. I'm coming right back. I got a little more on this. Like, I got one from the Daily Wire that talks about, and I agree with it, how the legacy media is spinning what happened in the debate. We'll just break that down. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. It's the morning after. That's what we're talking about. This dipper, number one, is the morning after. We're breaking down the pieces of last night's debate. What we think about it, what is being said about it, what the outcome of it is. So there's a piece I got here from Daily Wire. How the legacy media is spinning the debate. I think they nailed it pretty well. So the moderators last night, if you're not familiar, were David Muir and Lindsay Davis. And I'm pretty sure David Muir's probably got a white dudes for Kamala hat in the back room. But they proceeded to interrupt Trump and fact check him on multiple occasions. It was to the point of being just obnoxious. And they did so, I will say this. I know they felt like they had to be firm. He's a large personality, and they were trying to get their words out. But at the same time, they also, in my opinion, they came across as being abrasive in doing it. CNN, in the middle of the debate, like second half of the debate, put out a headline that said, Harris puts Trump on defense. New York Times wrote a headline that said, Harris puts Trump on defense in fierce debate. I mean, the debate wasn't even over. They're already like, woo-woo, he's on defense, woo-woo. I don't know that that's all entirely true, but it's a debate. It goes both ways. She was on defense a couple times, but meanwhile, NBC News wrote, Trump spreads conspiracy theories. Harris attacks on January 6th, that debate. No, I'd say the moderators attacked on January 6th. I mean, they were going after the whole Charlottesville debunked thing. They were going after, I mean, how dare he say that there's Haitian migrants eating people's pets? Well, the people say they are. In fact, where's that thing I got right here? It's in the story. Yeah. What's his name? David Muir interrupted the former president after he discussed allegations of Haitian migrants eating animals in Ohio, saying the city manager has said the allegations are unsubstantiated. Unsubstantiated doesn't mean they're not true. It means the city manager gave you. So basically, they went straight to what the bureaucrat told them. Never mind the fact that we have reel after reel of people living in the area saying their pets are missing. They got body cam footage of a police officer arresting someone saying that there's, you know, they're arresting the lady who's eating the cat in the driveway. I mean, the whole thing was just absolutely unbelievable. All that to say, the moderators became as much the story last night as the debaters. Now, what else is being said about it? One of the things that really came out, and it was, to me, of course, I'm extremely pro-life. They started asking Trump, are you going to sign a national abortion ban? Are you going to ban women's rights to choose? And just, it's, listen, they are such a cult of death that they can't do much without it. It's, and Kamala wants to refer to it as reproductive health care. It is not reproductive health care. It is non-reproductive. It is designed to stop reproducing. But at one point, Trump said, Democrats are going for platforms that allow you to have, you know, 7-month, 8-month, 9-month abortions on demand. At which point, just very quickly, almost like as a jab, and it wasn't even a correction. What's her name? Lindsay Davis, the moderator, says, there's no state in this country where it's legal to kill a baby after it's born. Now, Vice President Harris, I mean, just, yes, there is. You know whose state it is? Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the guy running for vice president. Governor Tim Walz eliminated the legal obligation for doctors to have to provide life-saving care to a baby who survives an abortion attempt. That's a post-abortion abortion. Listen, that the night was like that. Was there a clear winner? Was there? I don't know that we can say that there was. I Megyn Kelly, you know, formerly of Fox, now with her own Megyn Kelly podcast show. Megyn Kelly came out and just slammed him throughout. And if you remember, Megyn Kelly got sideways with Trump back in the day during the 2016 timeframe, I believe. She got sideways with Trump. She's not scared to ask a hard question. She'll do it. She'll put him on the spot. But she looked at it, and at one point she said, when he scores a point, they make sure she gets another bite at the apple. Must be nice to have the moderators running cover for you as a candidate. Makes it so much easier, she said. Yeah. And at one point she said, this is so bad regarding the moderators, this is going to backfire. I think that that's one of the stories of last night, is the moderators. Now, I'm going to wrap this up after the break. I have spent the whole show on it. But the reality is, this is a big deal. But in the end, we have to ask ourselves, is it the big deal? I got some thoughts on that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I'm talking about. This one right here. I mean the one we're in, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, let me remind you guys. So one of our advertisers is Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors, look, they are so cool and good at what they do. So Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they are experts at what is known as biblically responsible investing, BRI. It's real. And they can help you look at your portfolio, those of you who are doing all you can to set aside something for your retirement or your future. And they can help you look at it and say, you may be investing in some things that don't even align with your values. And they can help you with that BRI, which still grows to your bottom line. They'll help you grow it. But by golly, they can help you do something more than you'd ever dream possible by having things you're proud of in your portfolio. If you want to know more about this, Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they're willing to sit down with you for free. No fuss, no muss, no upsell, no catch. Just show you what they know, show you how it works, and show you what you might want to know about your own portfolio. Just go to their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Or too easy, go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Go to the Right Side Radio tab on sponsors and click on their logo. It takes you right to their website. Y'all, Inspire Advisors, check them out. Please check them out. It is godly. It is conservative. It's like financial freedom. So check them out. Inspire Advisors. Let me do this. I tell you what, is he on the line already? Jeff Rowe from Indiana. What are you thinking, man?
I'm thinking I'm on the wrong side of Nashville so far. I'll try to remedy that here in a little while.
Oh, you'll get there. You'll get there. Just anyway. Yeah. What did you watch the debate last night?
Yes, I did.
Oh, now. Tell me what you think.
I was thinking Trump could have did a little bit better job if he'd have.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he should have, you know, if you was a no information voter and you watched that debate last night, what you wouldn't know any more today than you did yesterday.
No, that's exactly right.
I didn't hear about no plans. I didn't hear about no nothing, just a little bit of vague things and stuff. And, you know, you wouldn't have any idea what they're. You know, I want them to come out there and say, you know, my plan is this, my plan is that. And I didn't hear none of that. So,
yeah, and
I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, it was. I will say, too, that while I know it was also his style, that Trump did not come across as prepared as she did. I mean, she was like she'd read a script. In fact, I so much so that I kept thinking she had to have had these questions in advance. I mean, you can anticipate what questions are going to be, but dadgum. But anyway, I'll give her props for getting ready. She took the time to get ready, which also makes me wonder who's running the country right now, because I don't think Joe is.
No, I wonder if they had a Kamala stand-in or something, maybe. Yeah, like Putin has stand-ins. It had to be something, because she should have been cackling last night when she got to these questions.
She had one part where Trump said something and she actually giggled, and I've forgotten what it was. I forgot which topic it was. It may have been abortion. I don't remember, but she just got giggled. And I thought, that is just so wrong right now. But anyway, so let me ask you this. Here was my summary, and I'll say it again, man. If you loved Trump before you went in to that debate, you still love him, but you wish he had more. If you loved Kamala before you went into that debate, you're breathing a big sigh of relief because she didn't screw up. And if you hated the mainstream media before you went in that debate, you probably hate them more. Is that a good summary?
Yeah, that's exact summary. I mean, the mainstream media, you might as well say, they might as well put the Democrat pins on their lapels and stuff, because, I mean, that's what they're there for.
Yeah, I said earlier, what's his name? David Muir. I think he's wearing a white dudes for Kamala hat today.
Yeah, I'm afraid they're all, was it 98% or whatever, I think, of all the media is supposed to be Democrat, I think. So they're showing their true colors. But whenever Kamala keeps bringing up the 2025 project, or, you know.
Yeah.
Whenever they do that, with no, you know, Trump has avowed that he's not, you know, hasn't even read the thing. I think that Trump should get a little communist manifesto book, stick in his pocket and everything, and then when they ask him what the plan is for the Democrats, he should pull that out and start reading from it, because that's basically their plan. But and when they say, well, we're not the communists, we're not that and everything, well, you know, I'm not 2025 project either, but you keep bringing it up.
That's not a bad idea.
Back in their face.
That's not a bad idea. The only problem is they'll replay it over and over again and say, look, he carries a communist manifesto around in his pocket. That's what they'll say.
Well, then Democrats will probably vote for him then. Cause basically, that wouldn't be a bad thing, would it?
Oh my gosh! All right, that and just tell everybody that Taylor Swift's on his personal playlist, and it'll all be good. All right, man, be safe going through Nashville. All right,
I'm coming into her now, man. Have a good one.
See you, buddy. All right, last couple things I've got on this, and then I'll take a whole bunch of text messages. You guys, if you want to text it in or call it in, it's 833-687-4448. So Fox did have a piece by Doug Schoen. If you're not familiar with Doug Schoen, he's a longtime political guru. His words, he said, it's pretty clear to him that Vice President Kamala Harris won what might be the only debate between herself and former President Trump. The vice president did have some help, too, he says. She was aided and abetted by two ABC News moderators who seemingly felt the need to fact-check virtually everything the president said. He pointed out that, yeah, Trump got clearly frustrated, and he became to be a little bit more strident as thing went on because of his frustrations. The vice president, Kamala Harris, he says, also appeared to gain renewed confidence when she saw Trump faltering a bit under some of the questioning. But then, he says, it isn't at all clear that this debate, just 56 days before the election, is going to fundamentally impact the outcome. She might get a bump for a minute. I think what's going to wind up happening, this is me talking now, I think what's going to wind up happening is the sound clips of her espousing things that are absolutely not correct are going to be played over and over again right next to her saying just the opposite on previous interviews or previous speeches or in previous policy moments. He points out, too, Trump spoke directly to his base. He said things like last night, like they talked about January 6th, and the first thing he did was say, the only person who died on January 6th was Ashley Babbitt, who was an unarmed civilian who was shot by a police officer who got out of control. And he talked about the lack of due process and the violation of civil liberties of people who are still in jail right now because they were simply present. But he also said what's also clear is that what Trump said in his closing statement is the case. And I played that for you earlier. Trump made his case. Like you could tell he had more prepared for his closing statement than he did for handling the issues throughout. He says, this is Doug Schoen again, voters remain angry about the direction this country is headed. And they also remain, you know, dubious about the performance of Biden and Harris, as well as which candidate they trust more on top of the three issues that face the country the most, the economy, immigration, and law and order. You know, Trump basically didn't have a great night, but he didn't blow it. Kamala had a better night than people had given her credit for going into it. But whether it truly wins the day for her is left to be determined because she's not picking up a lot of steam. And the last thing I've got here is a piece from Town Hall. And I agree with this, that Trump has been through the ringer, Matt Vespa says. He's the most persecuted, investigated candidate perhaps in presidential history. He says, I can understand the frustration, but winning the election is what's going to silence the left. Not a debate. And he points out, he says, the moderators were a mess, but there were times when he could have just nailed her on immigration. He could have just nailed her better on abortion. He could have just nailed her better on the economy. He could have nailed her more on the Middle East and foreign policy. And yet he was kind of sloppy. And that's the point of this article, but I agree with it. He was kind of sloppy. Trump has his own style of speaking, but his own style of speaking sometimes gets in the way and appears sloppy by comparison to the person standing to his left who has polished her messaging and was ready for the pounce. He's got to do better. His base is going to love him no matter what. Those of us who want him elected are already in, and we know it. But there are people out there, believe it or not, there are people out there who care what Taylor Swift says. There are people out there who care about whether or not Kamala's hair looked good. There are people who care about whether she'll be the first woman president. It'll be so cool. Well, okay. So Joe Biden was the first 80-year-old president. How'd that go for us? Barack Obama was the first black president. How'd that go for us? You can do glass ceilings all you want to. It's merit that matters. All right, tell you what, let's do. Big Rig, I tell you what I'm going to do, man. Let's take the break a tad earlier than usual, about 45 seconds earlier than usual, so I can come back and have more time to get some of these text messages. These people are texting like crazy. So take it in, man. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll come back and get a whole bunch of y'all's text messages. My word, y'all got opinions. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. I got a ton of text messages. I will do all that I can to get through them. I also got to point this out, too. Big doings today. Big doings. So the latest edition of the Right Philosophy podcast is out today. Go to our rightsidemedia.org website. Go to the podcast tab. You'll find all of our stuff on that website. But the podcast tab has the latest edition today of the Right Philosophy. That's a video podcast that I do from my house, actually, in my study at home. All my man cave stuff hanging around me, but we're really proud of the production quality. And by the way, the Right Click podcast comes out every Friday, and I just happened to see this pictures this morning of Birdman redoing the studio for the Right Click podcast. I'm pretty stoked about that. So stay tuned. More come. Right Philosophy is out today. Jeff Rowe from Indiana texted in again. Texted while you're driving, dude. Be careful. It says another thing bothers me. It's how come Dick and Liz Cheney are still in the Republican Party if they're going to vote for Kamala? Yeah, by the way, and he points out, you know, the whole Rhino thing. The bottom line is the actual Republican Party does have bylaws, and they will not be allowed to run for office again having done that. I can just tell you, they won't. Not that I think they ever would. But stand by and watch for her to be a spoiler in some kind of an independent race or something one day. Red from Tony, Alabama says, Trump needs to remind people he's not a career politician. I remember that being a major moment of getting the people behind him. And if he debates again, he needs to ask about her plan that she has but won't talk about. She just put up her policies as went on the website yesterday or day before for the first time. Benji from Hackleberg sends me a Facebook post to watch. Benji, I can't watch it right now. He says, yeah, okay, he says, watch it after the show. All right, thanks, Benji. Scott from Athens says, C.S. Lewis, The Abolition of Man. Says a great many of those who debunk traditional or sentimental values have in the background values of their own, which they believe to be immune from the debunking process. Okay. What are you telling me, Scott? But thank you. I love C.S. Lewis. I just don't know where you're going with that. Jim from Grove Oak. Hey, Colonel, have you heard anything about the January 6th detainees being re-educated? I have not. If you got some receipts on that one, man, I want to see it. John from Lexington, South Carolina says, can we ask the FEC to charge ABC and parent company Disney with an in-kind contribution to the Harris campaign? No doubt. Just saying. It was like a gift. Ron from Tuscumbia says, campaigns are snapshots and sound bites. Kamala gave Trump quite a few of them. He got some too. You're right. Pam from Athens says, take a look at this. And sends me some pictures. Oh yeah, this is the whole earring thing. I know somebody else sent it. I think Mel sent it to us a little while ago, Pam. I don't know. Listen, Pam, we can look at a picture and go, oh, I think it's real. I don't know. If it's real, somebody's going to have to prove it to me. Now, if they come out with an expose and they say, we have the signal, we can tell what was happening, let's laugh about it all the way to the election. But if it's just somebody speculating online, it doesn't do us any good. Mike from Athens says, Kamala wants another debate. Let's get Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson as moderators. Yeah. How did David Muir fact-check stuff? Google? I think he went to Wikipedia. Said Trump's closing statement blew Kamala out of the water. I agree. I played that earlier. Trump did a great job in his closing statement. Did Kareem text in? Kareem is the one who says Pop Pop got smoked. Oh, you got to change his name there, dude. You see that number there? The one that has Pop Pop on it? He's right underneath Mike from Athens. So punch him in. It'll come up on your screen. You'll scroll down. It'll be there. Bob from Madison says, hey, Phil, there's actually 7 states that have no restriction on abortions at all, which could mean that the after death or after birth, they could be after death. What are you trying to say? Anyway, the after birth, they could be killed. Oh, boy. Mike from Huntsville. Yellow Dog Mike. Phil, God is still on his throne. And after Trump went about people eating cats and dogs, he just laughed out loud. I got a new moniker for your show. It's Solid Conservative, just plain lying. Oh, Mike. Oh, Mike, that is so, so you. Just give me you got a sound effect over there, Big Rig. You need to give me a womp womp wah or something on that one because Mike coined a phrase and it was so good, Mike. All right, Dorothy from Elkmont says there are all caps. There are Swifties for Trump. A lot. Fact check, Dorothy. You fact check, send it to me. I want to see it. I mean, I believe it. I don't doubt you. I think they ought to have hats and T-shirts, bumper stickers, Swifties for Trump. Bring it. Paula from Lacey Springs says, in the makeup and the hair court. Oh, wait, hang on a sec. We got two. What do we got here? I guess what she's saying, Paula said that in the makeup and the hair couture department that Kamala did well. Her hair did look nice, but I felt like I'd be mansplaining if I tried to say that. I'd be accused of misogyny. I will say this. Whoever does Trump's hair has a job, too, and they get it done. Ken from Harvest, CNN did a good job of hosting the debate. ABC did not. Yeah, CNN had the June one. And I'll be honest with you, CNN, whew, bless their hearts, they already knew that it was so bad that they didn't need to do anything. They need to stay out of it. And they did. If you remember the Chris Wallace debate, went very badly a few years back. Says this year, the sitting administration picked the networks and the moderators for debates. I hope in 4 years, the sitting administration will pick Fox and have it moderated by Mark Levin. Woo! That would be good. Robert from Harvest is sending me the earring thing. Y'all, listen, stop sending me the earring thing. If it's real, we got to prove it. I can't look at somebody's picture of an earring and say, this is it, she's busted. No, it doesn't mean a thing until you can prove it. Right now, it's just a neat little idea that someone had on social media, and it means nada. Find me some receipts. Teresa from Town Creek. She has a water gun? Oh, that's my Kamala Harris. She's got a water gun. No doubt. Super soaker. That's Kamala. Sam from Anderson, Alabama says, how about a lie detector on both of them when they answer questions? Oh, boy. And then Misty from Blount County, who's brand spanking new in the text lines. We're glad you're there, Misty. She says, if people actually believe Kamala didn't have an earpiece with someone telling her what to say, they have fell off their rockers. She is not that quick-witted, ever. Said, in my personal opinion, women have no business running a church or the country. Wow, Misty, wow. Too many emotions to be president. She would take a question and either make it personal or put her fake emotions into it and make it personal. Okay, Misty, I'm not going to go with you there because I think that people like Condoleezza Rice and others did a pretty darn good job of doing stuff from the executive branch, but nonetheless, I don't think Kamala's fit for it. And with somebody talking in her ear, I want to know. I do think she had the questions in advance. There's that. Ed P. from Huntsville says, Phil, the pundits may have given the debate to Kamala, but undecided voters are still not sure. And I've seen that, and you're right. Listen, let me close this out. That's a whole bunch of the morning after right there. Here's the thing. I'll summarize it again. If, in fact, you went into that debate last night already liking Trump, then you just kind of came out of it wishing there was more, but you still liked him. If you went into that debate last night liking Kamala, then you took a big sigh of relief because she didn't screw up and she didn't have a big word salad. And if you went into that debate last night hating the mainstream media, you came out with more to hate because they ran amok last night. All right, look. Stay tuned. We're coming right back. The Grand Council, Jeff Hoare, Dale Jackson, and little old me. Y'all stay tuned.